Well, good morning. Am I clear? Can you hear me? Is that okay? Good. So I just wonder who is looking forward to Christmas? Well, I know that Christmas isn't for everyone, but I suspect that most of us will be preparing in some way or another. And for many people, it is the happiest time of the year. Millions of people from around the world will joyfully celebrate and enjoy this Christmas time. And for Christians, of course, we have even more reason to celebrate. We remember the coming of Christ to this earth. But let me ask you another question. I wonder who's looking forward to the end of the world. Well, I suspect considerably less of us. It certainly doesn't sound as much fun as Christmas. There's no tinsel or mulled wine involved. But there is, in fact, a significant similarity. There is one hugely important factor that links these two events. And that is that in both cases, Jesus himself comes to visit us here on earth. And the scriptures are clear that Jesus' second coming to earth is an event which represents or marks the end of the world. Now, I know that speaking about the end of the world isn't necessarily a fun kind of thing to talk about, and certainly not part of most people's normal day-to-day conversation. In fact, the only time you hear it discussed is when you hear people speaking flippantly. You may hear them say, "Don't worry, it's not the end of the world." Actually, yesterday, my beloved football team, Blackburn Rovers, played locally at Stoke City. And I thought at one point it might be the end of the world. Blackburn were winning 1-0, and then Stoke equalised in the 80th minute. But it wasn't the end of the world, because Blackburn scored again to win 2-1. But of course, it was never the end of the world in that situation. It's ridiculous to compare that situation with the end of the world, and we do use that term flippantly. But I wonder how many of us actually reflect on its reality, on what that actually means in practice, on being prepared for the return of Jesus. Well, this is basically what today's reading from Matthew chapter 24 is all about us being prepared for Jesus' second coming. And it will be helpful for all of us if you have that reading open in front of you. It's quite easy to find. It's page 1000 in the Pew Bibles. So our reading begins at verse 36 with Jesus' answer to a previous question. The disciples have asked Jesus, way back in verse 3, about his second coming and about the end of the age, or the end of the world. Now, we might think it's a bit wacky to be talking about the end of the world, about a day of reckoning. Perhaps we think it's something we shouldn't necessarily be talking about in the Church of England. However, it might not be as unusual as we imagine. If you think about it, the words we say in church every week help to remind us about this event. So, for example, most of us join in with the creeds. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And most of us pray the Lord's Prayer, where we're eager to see God's kingdom come. And equally, as we reflect on this season of Advent, the Church of England's teaching is that Jesus will return. And during the season of Advent, the Church anticipates and looks forward to Jesus' second coming and the hope of a new creation. To quote the Church of England website, it says, "Advent is a season of expectation and preparation as the Church, and that's all of us, prepares to celebrate the coming of Christ in his incarnation," that's Christmas, "and also looks ahead to his final advent as the judge at the end of time," his second coming. So it is not extreme teaching to reflect seriously on Christ's return. Yes, Advent is partially about looking forward to Christmas, but its main emphasis is of expecting and preparing for Jesus to return when he returns to judge the living and the dead. And here in verse 36, Jesus explains that when he does return, no one will know when it's going to happen. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor Jesus, but only the Father. In fact, the only thing that is certain about the time of his coming is that Jesus will return when he is not expected. And in these following verses, there follows a series of warnings that if the time is unknown, then it is quite possible that people will be caught unprepared. And all these warnings are summed up in two words in verse 42. Stay awake. Jesus used the story of Noah as an example. The people are going about their everyday business with no regard to the warnings they've received, doing normal everyday things, eating and drinking, family stuff like marrying. And Jesus is warning, don't be caught out like the people in Noah's time. And I think this warning definitely translates to the present time. Jesus knows what we're like and how we focus in on our immediate concerns, the here and now, making sure that we're putting the meat on for Sunday lunch, ironing the shirt for work tomorrow, and making sure we're booked our next hair appointment, especially the hair appointment for Christmas. But Jesus wants us to stay awake, to look up and to see the important event that faces us in the future. Another example Jesus uses is that of the thief in the night, verse 43. That if the owner of the house had known when the thief was coming, then he would have stayed awake and not allowed his house to be broken into. I can recall an incident when I was younger. Susan, my wife now, and I were engaged to be married, and everything was going very well. But unfortunately, one day we had a fallout, and I stormed out of her home and went back to my own house. And as I left her house, I thought I heard Susan's engagement ring hit the back of the door. But I am firmly told that this wasn't actually the case. Anyway, the following day around tea time, I was at my house, my mum and dad's house, and I received a shout from my mum upstairs. Brian, Susan's on the phone for you. I thought, she's come to her senses and realised that I was right all along. And she's probably phoning me up now to apologise for her unreasonable behaviour. Well, unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But what had happened is that Susan was angry with me and had uncharacteristically taken off her engagement ring following the argument and put it, as she thought, safely in a bedtime drawer. However, and here's the point of the story, during the day, whilst everyone was out at work, a burglar had visited the house and stolen many valuable items, including Susan's engagement ring. No one expected a thief to visit the house that day. Verse 43, but if Susan's family had known when the thief was coming, they would not have let their house be broken into. The point Jesus is making, we don't know when he's returning. And so he urges verse 42, stay awake, be prepared for his return. So we know two things so far from this passage. Firstly, that Jesus will return. But secondly, we don't know when that is. But I think also in this passage, there's a bit of an elephant in the room. I know this seems like an overused cliche these days. It does seem there are elephants running around everywhere. But there is something quite alarming happening in verses 40 and 41. There is a warning here that when Jesus returns, there will be one taken and one left. And from the two stories that we've already looked at about Noah and also the thief, Jesus makes it clear that there will be some who are prepared for his coming and some who are not. And so Jesus goes on to tell a third story, which partly helps to describe what it means to be prepared. From verse 45, there are two servants. One, a faithful and wise servant, who when the master returns is found working diligently in the master's service. The other servant, who is described as wicked, takes advantage that his master is delayed, and he abandons his duties and shows no commitment to his master. So from this parable, it's clear that when Jesus returns, we need to be found living obedient lives that are a concrete sign of our faith in him. We know from elsewhere in the Bible that we need to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. And it is this that will ensure that we are prepared for his return. Now, if you're at all unsure about this question of being prepared, then please could I recommend speaking to Andrew about a course that he's hoping to run shortly. The course is called Identity, and it will help to explain exactly what it means to be prepared for Christ's return. Sue and I actually went on a similar course when we were looking into the Christian faith many years ago, and we were wondering what it was all about. And it has changed our lives. As we heard the wonderful gospel that Jesus came to this earth to save sinners, people like you and me. He came to pay the price for our sin by dying on the cross. And then crucially, he rose from the dead. And that putting our trust in him, we can be saved from death and from judgment. And we can look forward to joining him in the new creation. It is without question the most significant thing that Susan and I have ever done in our lives, to give our lives to Jesus and to follow him. And so I urge you, if you're at all unsure about being prepared for Jesus' return, or if you just want to know more and explore more about the Christian faith, then please do have a word with Andrew and join the Identity course. So can I ask again, are we looking forward to Christmas this year? I'm sure we'll be making our various preparations over these next few weeks, preparing for Christmas, when Jesus comes to offer an opportunity to follow him and the hope of eternal life. And can I also ask, are we looking forward to his second coming, when he returns to judge the living and the dead? We know from this passage that he is returning to earth a second time. And we also know that he will return when he's not expected. We need to be ready. And so by all means, let's look forward to Christmas this year. But let's also make sure that we're prepared for his second coming, staying awake, trusting in Jesus, and living for him. Amen.
We stand for the Creed.